Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Keep up with the show on Twitter at OMF on WEEI. Before, during, and after the show at OMF on WEEI. Let's get you back to more of Ordway, Merlone, and Fourier right now on Sports Radio WEEI.
Would you recommend any player ever listen to sports talk radio? Because I wouldn't.
I didn't as a player. Yeah. You know, I didn't.
I think it's bad for a player.
Yeah. But, I mean, I'm a sports fan, too, and I love the when you guys talk about the Celtics and the Patriots and all that, I enjoy it, you know. Yeah, when you guys talk about the Red Sox.
Yeah, we don't know it. We don't know enough about it. Lou doesn't know enough about it.
Angry Lou.
That's a problem. No, it's Dr. Lou now.
Oh, Dr. Lou.
Christian and I agree.
He fixes things. You put the music behind.
Yeah, we got it all.
But a player. So we are happy to report that the one manager or coach in town who actually listens to our show is back again as a regular every Wednesday. Alex Cora joins us live from Oakland, California. How you doing?
I'm doing good. How are you guys?
You're all right? You okay?
Yeah, I'm good, all right?
You need some help? No, you're all right, right?
Not at all, man. Just walking around the streets of San Francisco. Good workout in the morning, breakfast, now literally shopping, and let's go get them later on.
Yeah, we heard the sky was falling out there. I wasn't sure what the weather was like because over here it seems pretty sunny.
That was in October.
Okay, you realize there's no panic back here, and we do panic well, as you know. We're good at panic, okay? But there's no panic right now, right? Everything's good. Everything's good back here.
No, I mean, not the start that we wanted, but obviously we got something going on. We have to be disciplined as far as our pitching staff, and I know a lot of people are worried about that, but you know, if we're disciplined, we're going to be fine. I think the last two nights have been pretty solid as far as the starters. I know David gave up four, but, you know, the stuff was there. Just, you know, some mistakes that the A's took advantage of it. Yesterday, Chris pitched, you know. I know everybody's talking about the velocity and all that, but he was able to locate his changeup. He used his slider. He went six. You know, Workman threw the ball well. Frazier threw the ball well. Now, we haven't hit the last two nights, but things are starting to trend the right way. You know, as long as we pitch in the first part of the game, we're going to be fine.
You know, Alex, heard Dana last night talking about Sale and obviously the questions about velocity. And, you know, last year he did come out of the gates, but it was still, you know, it was 92, 93, 94. Last night it was 88, 89 a lot. So my question is, can you go to Chris Sale and say, listen, this is where we want you to throw at. We want you to throw at 89, 90. We want you to throw at 93, 94. And can you do that as a pitcher?
I think he has some history. If you go back to the White Sox, I want to say his last year there or the second to last, you know, there was a time there that he was actually pitching to contact, and I don't know velocity wise, but I know he was down from 97, 98, and he was getting a lot of people out, you know, and, I do feel that the velocity will come back. It's just a matter of, when last year it was in Texas, if I'm not mistaken, you know, velocity was usually 92, 93. All of a sudden, we went to Texas. It was hot and humid, and it was 98, 99, and he went to a period that, you know, he was amazing for two and a half months. So, like I said, I think they understand where we at, how we want things to run. You know, coming into this situation, everything I heard from previous years, it was like Chris was throwing 97, 98 from the first day in spring training, and that's why he got hit against the Houston Astros. So we're trying to be disciplined of what we believe, you know, the program that we have. And, you know, he gave us six yesterday, so that's a good start.
Yeah, so the velocity isn't an issue with Chris Sale. It's part of being disciplined and seeing the big picture for the entire season.
I believe so. You know, I do feel that he understands his body. He understands his windup too. He was way off in the first outing, and yesterday he was under control. He was able to locate his slider, use his changeup, which he didn't do in Seattle. And I think they took advantage of that. And he was actually a lot better than the first one yesterday.
What about Sandy Leon? That's one of the options that were out there the last couple of days, you know, especially with the amount of home runs that the team has given up. Any consideration of bringing him back into the fold, or is it too early?
I mean, we got two capable catchers. I don't think, you know, Sandy or Christian or Blake had to do with mislocation. If you look back at the tape of Nate and then Rick in Seattle, the one with Eddie, you know, the walk to Bruce, the base hit by Gordon, and the home run by Bruce later on, I don't think that has to do with the catcher. I think it's execution. If you ask Nate and you ask Chris, if you ask Porcello, you look back and they left a lot of pitches right in the middle, you know, and when that happens, people are going to take advantage of it. We live in an era that when you make mistakes, it's not a double in the gap. It's a home run. People are swinging to the fences, you know, they got their A swing the whole at bat, and they're taking advantage of it. But no, I don't think that has to do with what's going on right now.
Alex, speaking of Eduardo and Blake Swihart, Saturday after the game, you know, Dana was talking about game plan and how there's just, they got away from the game plan, and he was trying to figure it out himself. How does that happen in that first start? It was actually Swihart's first game. I'm guessing both of them are to blame for that, maybe game plan not being executed.
No, I think it was more about, you know, the lefties, and we believe that his changeup plays against righties and lefties. And I talked to Eduardo the next day, and it's not like they deviated from it, but he didn't feel comfortable throwing it in there. You know, he felt that, you know, the command wasn't good. He tried to go inside actually against them, and he missed fire in the first at bat, and then he left that pitch out of the plate to Bruce. And I think he tried to go in with Gordon. He got a jam shot. But I think it's more about him on the mound, how he felt about the pitch with those two lefties, and it didn't go, you know, the way we wanted, you know. And they have to make adjustments. You know, we can coach them all that. We're in the dugout. We really don't know how they feel on the mound. You know what I mean? Like Lou, you know how it is. You know, like, we have hitting coaches, and they thought that, you know, okay, you should do this, you should do that. And when you go to battle, you know, when you go, I went to that batter's box. Sometimes I didn't feel it, you know, well, most of the time, I guess. But that's the way it works. And I talked to him the next day, and we went over it. And, you know, he's going to make adjustments. But sometimes it's about feel. It's not about the scouting report or we have to do this. You know, he didn't feel it that day, you know, with lefties, and he didn't use it.
All right, Alex, you gave us a legitimate reason for moving Mookie Betts down to the number two spot and moving Benintendi up to leadoff. Betts is back in the leadoff spot. Is this permanent, and why did you change?
No, right now I do feel like we're a little bit unbalanced as far as the offense. We know we have Sam, and you know, but without Pierce, it's kind of like tough to match up with some of the bullpens, you know, with the lefties and all that. So I decided to go with him, try to split up Benintendi and Jackie, but then you have Devers and Benintendi. But I was like, you know what, we should score some runs early in the game, so it really doesn't matter who they bring later on in the game. It didn't work out 2 days ago. Yesterday, it kind of worked out. You know, they brought the lefty early, and then we have a good matchup in the ninth. But it was more about that. You know, I think when we're at full force, you know, when Pierce comes back in the next few days, and then hopefully Pedroia comes back sooner rather than later, then we'll have a set lineup, and I'm going to be able to split the lefties and probably go back to Benny leading off and Mookie hitting second.
You know, that decision, that wanting Devers, ideally looking ahead, hitting third, did that play into it as well, having that lefty-righty-lefty?
It's very important. It's very important. I think the kid has done an outstanding job swinging the bat in spring training. So far, so good during the season. So for me, it's very important to split them up, you know. And, you know, Benny's going to hit. And Mookie's going to get going. So you go left, right, left, right. And then, obviously, Xander will always be hitting behind JD. And then you have Mitch, you know, when there's a righty. And then we can kind of, like, maneuver, you know, Pierce, depending of you know, the lefty and how Devers is swinging it. So, like I said, you know, right now, you know, we're not making excuses. Obviously, we feel like we can score runs regardless of the lineup that we have. But as far as, like, lineup construction, you know, there's a few things that, you know, it's going to be cool when everybody's healthy and we can do different things and put the lineup in a better place.
What's the time frame for Dustin Pedroia? When do you think he's going to be called up?
Petey's playing, what's today, the 3rd? Tomorrow's the 4th? I don't even know. He's playing opening day in Greenville. I think that's the 4th. He's playing back-to-back 9. Then Saturday's off. Sunday he'll play nine, and then after that we'll make a decision what we're going to do.
You know, one thing I was wondering, you talk about sticking to plans, things you did last year was you protected some of these guys. You gave them rest early on, and you started off so well, it was just like, oh, Mookie's got the day off, but hey, you're 6-1. I'm wondering, do you have scheduled days off? 11 games in 11 days is a lot for Mookie and JD here in the next day or two, and does your record, how you come out of the gate, affect that?
No, not really. Actually, Xander isn't playing today, so Xander's not playing today, and during the weekend, we're going to, you know, obviously with no DH, we're going to find a day off for JD, find a day off for Mookie, and find a day off for Jackie. I mean, you got to be disciplined, man. It really doesn't matter. I understand it's early in the season and it's one and whatever, and people, you know, start, you know, asking questions and all that. But I do feel that if we're disciplined, what we believe, you know, stick with the principles that made us good last year, we're going to be fine.
Is Xander off because of getting hit off the ankle last night?
Nah, he was going to get a day off anyways.
Okay.
Tomorrow's a day game, but it's a lefty. So we were debating if it was today or tomorrow. With the lefty, I'd rather have him playing tomorrow at shortstop. And today we go with Brock and with Nooney playing second.
All right, I want to find out how much this affects you. You talked about this last year and the light load on your pitching staff in spring training. It's a marathon. It's a long season. And it paid dividends, obviously, later on in the year. The load was even a little bit lighter this year in spring training. Then you start the season with 11 games out west. And, oh, yeah, the first two teams you play have already played a couple legitimate real games over in Japan. Any of that a factor in why your staff has got off to a slow start?
No, actually, I think the factor is, you know, Seattle, they put good swings. You know, it's a different lineup, but, you know, they got a different personnel as far as hitting coaches and all that. It was a different plan. You know, those guys, they're buying into launch angle and getting under the ball and hitting the ball in the air. You could see it. You know, they got some different individuals, Malik Smith leading off, and then you got D hitting ninth. Jay Bruce looks healthy. Salazar, he was great against us. I think it was just one of those that we made mistakes and they took advantage of it. And then here in Seattle, you know, I mean, here in Oakland, I think it's what, five pitches, five runs, you know, that's their offense. And, you know, yesterday we felt like offensively we grinded, but we weren't able to finish at bats, and we paid the price. The night before, I think after the throw by Laureano, well, the first throw by Laureano, kind of like it took the life out of the dugout for the first time in the first few games. You know, it was like kind of like a letdown, you know, and we talk about it, and that's going to happen, you know. So I don't think it has to do with the program. I don't think it has to do with them playing two games in Japan. I just feel that we made mistakes down the middle of the plate, and teams are taking advantage of it.
All right, we're talking to your manager of the Boston Red Sox, Alex Cora. Alex, when do you expect to get Steve Pierce back?
I think most likely tomorrow. You know, he played seven innings yesterday. Everything went well. He got three at-bats. He played first. He was running the bases. So most likely, you know, he'll fly here tonight, and most likely he'll be back tomorrow.
It is time for the Cumberland Farms question of the week for Alex Cora, or what we better refer to as a good question that the three dumbasses didn't ask the manager. this question is submitted by Tim O'Connor of Steep Falls, Maine. Alex, how do you avoid the pitfalls of a World Series hangover?
I mean, we're about to find out, huh? I never managed a team that, you know, after winning a World Series, so... You know, we have our plan. We understand what we have to do. We just got to be disciplined, very disciplined. And if we stay disciplined, we're going to have a great season, and we're going to be back in October and getting a shot to win the World Series.
All right, so, you know, Alex, I've been pretty good with giving you advice that you've obviously have paid attention to because you won a
totally
World Series.
Avoided that.
And a lot
God.
Of really good cliches that you can use. The
right.
speeches, yeah, for
yeah.
speech, you yeah. know, to influence you. And inspiration. My one piece of advice, no matter what you do, no matter how bad it gets, no team meetings until at least July 1st. Just as a, you know, as a way of doing business. No team meetings. They are the kiss of death. So regardless of what happens, not until after July 1st.
I got you. I'll write that down. I got you.
I think the Celtics have had 16 meetings.
They had too
so
many.
Far. Yeah. That was your Cumberland Farm question of the week, brought to you by Cumberland Farms Farmhouse Blend Iced Coffee. Go to weei.com/manager to submit your question for us.
Alex,
we'll
no other lineup
Alex,
changes other than Holt at short?
Blake is catching today.
Okay.
So It's his birthday, too, so I expect a big game from Blake.
All right.
Why, is that just a normal thing,
guys? Day, yeah.
You,
birthday.
Birthday. I suppose they're just partying too much. Yeah.
No. I never got
to throw it out there, you know. He should have a great beer. He was playing anyways, but then I found out it was his birthday. I'm like, oh, this is perfect right here.
All right, we'll talk to you next week. Enjoy San Francisco. Watch out for the Seals. They're nasty. They are nasty.
Okay.
On the waterfront.
Right, okay, you guys take care.
See you later. Next week.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.